Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is not here. He's in transit. I think he's in Chicago somewhere, on his way back to the UK. After his tour,
he's still trying to warm up his appendages.
We do know he did not die. Okay, so that's good or bad, depending on your point of view. You know what I mean?
Just as bleeding heart died, he's dead inside now.
Yeah. So who knows? You know, most of you, I would like to think the vast majority of you are like, okay, you're glad to hear that. But there's like this small, you know, pocket of people that are like, damn it. You know, he made
small pocket of people. Small pocket of people hoping to hear that that any given one of us have left the program. But yes. There's people right now. It's like,
yeah, and a few people. Although I think the demographics of those people that, you know, are not too fond of Simon goes exponentially higher, like in certain areas of Hawaii. American Samoa.
at the moment.
Southwest Ranches here in Broward County, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, that's just the way it goes.
A golf course near you in South Dade, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not popular in any of those places.
Like people like, you know, I'm trying to think of like a good example, but like, you know, Josh Rosen people probably liked me until they really didn't like me.
Yeah. They hated me from day one. Cause as soon as they made the trade, I eviscerated the trade on 5ReasonSports.com, and I even got death threats over it. Like it was awesome. Like that was a visceral reaction to Josh fucking Rosen of all people.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
But this show is brought to you by Factor Meals. We have a dedicated page over at Factor Meals. We appreciate it if you use it. We've heard that some of you are using it. And it's at factormeals.com/3yardsper carry 50. That's the number 3 yards per carry 50. You use the same promo code, 3 yards per carry 50, and you get 50% off your first order. As always, Prize Picks. We've also heard very good things from those guys. PrizePicks.com/3yards. Use the promo code 3yards. That's the number 3yards. You deposit $100, you get $100. And today we're starting with a new sponsor, Chris.
Are we?
Yes. DietSmoke.com. Okay. I have one package here that I'm saving. I was going to save it for like had they won against the Chiefs, but.
No. I would have I would have gone the other way.
Yes.
And I'm not saying I did or I did not go another way. I will say that that if for example, if the Miami Dolphins had just lost the playoffs in the playoffs in a really, really embarrassing fashion, then the fruit and fireworks package might help you get completely obliterated and forget that you're a human being on this planet Earth, let alone a football fan of a team that that has had your genitalia in a vice for decades. So you know, that I'm just saying, speaking on the hypothetical,
mm-hmm.
on the hypothetical, you may have used that to temporarily forget that the Miami Dolphins were even a thing.
Yeah, and that website is dietsmoke.com, and you can use the promo code Waddle, as in Jalen Waddle, pretty good player.
Pretty good discount as well, 50% off of any single item. And there are some higher value items on the menu there. So definitely a pretty good discount. And yeah, I think that that overall the offerings from Diet Smoke will definitely help you get through an off season of potential pain.
Yeah, and as Diet Smoke told me, yeah, we're gonna be with you throughout the playoff run, grand opening, grand closing, but they're gonna still be with us for the rest of this month and through the Super Bowl. So that's a good thing. All right. I don't think that we're going to go on and on here. I don't think we're going to break down frame by frame of this game. Okay.
Okay. Please don't.
All right. And I think that there will be so much time and so much content to give and to get paid for.
Yeah.
That we're not going to get into certain parts of the roster, you know, possible retirements, possible, you know, old defensive coordinators storming off. None of that stuff. There's going to be so much time for all of that stuff. You know, does our quarterback suck? Does he not suck? Is he good? Is he great? Is he terrible? All of that stuff. We're going to have so much time, but we're just going to talk about essentially this game and what brought us to this and how close or how far things may seem or are, depending on your point of view. This game was lost essentially when they could not take what was handed to them, which was your biggest rival at home on a Sunday night, and they were not at their best. You should have been at your best, and you essentially should have beaten them, and that would have avoided going to sub-zero temperatures. I guess we could start right there. Is that as simple as that? Or was there any other fix? Because as I watched this game, I was absolutely floored. And I'm talking about floored as in I stared at the screen and thought to myself, what the hell are they doing? When the Chiefs get the opening kickoff and go pass, pass, pass completion. First down.
Yep. Well, I mean, recall even those first two passes were dicey. I mean, these are short passes, and Patrick Mahomes missed by like a mile on these two short passes to start.
And I remember what you said in the preview show: he who does the stupid thing will win the stupid prize. You know,
yeah.
But you know what I came away with? Those conditions were absolutely horrendous and impossible. But Mahomes made it work enough.
And this is why at the end of the day, you know, we have a lot of people are going to argue about a lot of quarterbacks in this league, right? Mm. A lot of people are going to argue about a lot of quarterbacks. We're going to argue about Josh Allen because he's always throwing interceptions and giving us reason to argue about Josh Allen, right? Mm. We're going to argue about Lamar Jackson because, you know, various reasons. A lot of people still are convinced that he's not a great passer. They say things like, you know, just make him play real quarterback or make him stay in the pocket or You know, and at the end of the day, hey, listen, Lamar Jackson has one playoff win to his name. He's, you know, how many years into his career? And those playoffs in general have not been good showings offensively for the Baltimore Ravens. So he's got a monkey on his back that he's trying to get off his back this postseason.
And good old Dak Prescott.
And then good old Dak. You know, you can have an MVP caliber type of year, regular season, but you know they get into the playoffs today. They get on the playoffs, and it just it didn't work out for them. Of course, Jordan Love, you know, just went ham on them. But I think that we're going to argue about a lot of quarterbacks in this league. One quarterback that nobody ever seems to ever argue about is Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Because we are year after year, game after game, staring at greatness, true greatness in this game. And it's, you know, it's basically his world at the quarterback position and everybody else is just living in it, you know? Yeah. And
he started that game. You could almost see him going through the process in his brain saying, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to suck today, but my mm-hmm. suck is going to be better than their suck.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. In these conditions, you're not going to execute at the same mm-hmm. the same way. And so that was the point. That was why I suggested that the team that tries to do too much is going to be the team that loses. Because you know you're not going to be. There's too many fail points in the passing game. And we saw a lot of those fail points play out even in, I mean, look at what they kept doing in the red zone when Duke Riley wasn't being, you know, an idiot and keeping himself in the game, even though he couldn't move. You know, they managed to score the touchdown on that red zone trip because of that, specifically because of that Duke Riley thing. But then they had a bunch of other trips in the red zone that just kept, you know, flopping for one reason or another. And it's always just, you know, hey, this guy can't catch the ball cleanly, or hey, this, you know, this pass went just a little bit off, or hey, you know, there wasn't a clean snap here or stuff like that. There's a lot of that.
Did you also notice that field goal range was limited at 40 yards flat, period?
Yeah.
And not a yard further than that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so I think that with Pat Mahomes, we're staring at greatness in a player that who is a one of one player. And that's the truth. He is a one of one player in the NFL right now. And so, you know, that makes the rest of us feel bad because we don't have that one of one player. But I mean, those are facts. They leaned on him and he did things. You know, honestly, I'm not some of the things probably shouldn't have been possible.
No.
In those conditions, negative 30 degree conditions like that. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about things that Brett Favre couldn't do, things that Aaron Rodgers couldn't do, you know, things that in their primes, even, you know, things that. Go down the list of guys that have played in that sort of in those sort of conditions and. He was great, and give him his props. That was the house that he's won 9 playoffs in, games in.
And now he's going on the road for the first time in his career.
Yeah, for the first time in his career, he's 9-2 in the playoffs. Well, now he's 10-2, and he played every single one of them in that house. And the people who were saying that Miami should lose to the Buffalo in Week 18. You know, just to avoid having to play Buffalo again, a third time, a second week in a row, we're just absolutely insane.
Yes.
You don't want to go. I mean, we could kind of screw ourselves up and convince ourselves, you know, hey, maybe the weather is like giving us a nice chance at an equalizer. And then bam, we can't convert a third down to save our lives, you know? And it's like, hey, there's a reason you don't want to go into Kansas City in sub-zero temperatures trying to be the road team winning against Pat Mahomes in his stadium where he's 9-1-9 playoff games. I mean, that's it's absurd. You know, there's a big part of you that just is calling bullshit on the idea of the weather kind of helping Miami out, which it could have, but it just didn't work out that way. But yeah, so you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there, man. Do not go in there.
Patrick Mahomes is so good. Patrick Mahomes is so good that he mesmerizes the officials into granting them timeouts that they don't have.
Yeah. What was that?
I did not understand that. I'm not one of these people that, you know, because at that time we were down 19-7. So I'm not one of these people that, you know, that's going to be over officious and say, oh, I require satisfaction on this. But let's be real about this. First of all, he gets hit helmet to helmet by Deshaun Elliott. It cracks his helmet. If that is not a reason for the spotter. Remember those people?
Yeah.
You remember those people, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
If that's not a reason for the spotter to say, you know what? The guy's helmet cracked. Have him get him checked out in the blue medical tent.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not going to do that. They didn't do that. Okay, that's fine. But then the officials call a timeout so he could go get a new helmet and make sure that he could hear over the headset. Like, are we serious? And they don't get charged a timeout? Like, what the hell is that about?
They don't get charged a timeout for that. And they should have. We know that they should have.
Well, he should have missed at least one play to see if, you know, if his brain wasn't scrambled.
Well, right.
You know, but they didn't do that.
Hey, this is the superstar of the league.
Yes.
And at quarterback, and this is his house. You know, so what are you going to do? And this is why you don't want to be playing there in the postseason. So the Miami Dolphins, I think you're absolutely right. They screwed up big time with that Buffalo loss in week 18. Things would have gone better. Prior to that, they screwed up with the Tennessee, you know, the last 4 minutes, the 4 minutes of, hey, let's take a breather. And then what just happened?
Yes. Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
And so, you know, I think that I think at the end of the day, you know, you're going to come away with a lot of that. And this is also one of the reasons that I kept trying to tell people, you know, during the season, because everybody just has this running tally, you know, and they get to decide arbitrarily, subjectively, who are the good teams and who are not the good teams, because at any given time, you know, such and such team might be a 500 team. Oh, now it's an over 500 team. Now it's an under 500 team. I guess, were they good? Are they not good? You know, this stuff, there's a bunch of that crap. And I was trying to say, you know, hey, listen, you know what the team that is 500 or better against, you know, quote unquote good teams, you know what benefit they get in the playoffs? None. You know,
yeah. No, they just get the media, you know, to kiss their ass a little bit. Right.
I mean, that's you're not getting spotted a touchdown in your next game. You know what I mean? Like, and the team, it's your record. You are what your record states. You get a bye week, and because your record says you get a bye week, or you get a home field because your record says that you get a home field. So, you know, if Miami had taken care of business the way that we believe that they could have, then they'd have been playing home. Now, would it have still gone tits up? Because the Dolphins clearly ended the season in a funk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
But we would have had a little hardware to, you know, to fool ourselves. You know,
it would have been a better chance. But I think the Dolphins clearly ended the season on a funk. There's no denying that, and that includes the quarterback who was. You know, I mean, he was playing at levels, and during those last six quarters, I probably wouldn't even drafted him at, if he were a draft prospect. But still, you set the table the way you set it up, just like last year where they set the table to have to play up in Buffalo.
And give a much more spirited effort.
They gave a much more spirited effort, the defense in particular. Yeah. Defense was healthier, but yeah. So it's just a season. It's squandered. It is what it is.
And it was actually it's the very rare 11-win season that was a complete disappointment.
Yeah, right. And that's kind of where you have to. People wondered, like, we had people on the Discord. I saw somebody on the Discord was like, hey, I'm really disappointed that we're not seeing more, you know, of CK and Alvin and Simon, you know, talking about things, or analyzing, you know, and doing the autopsy and the what's next and all that stuff. And I said the same thing to one of my sources who's really tied into the upper floors of the building, so to speak. I was like, listen, you're not going to get anything out of me Sunday. Like, you're not going to get anything out of me today. You know why? Because I'm not going to analyze from a place of disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually a trained analyst, and I know better. Like, I am a trained professional analyst. I know better than to analyze from a space of disappointment. And so, you know, you're not going to get jack shit from me that way. And you got to give it some time. You got to let it lay down. Get time gives you better perspective. The Dolphins did win 11 wins or games this year. They went to the playoffs. It wasn't good enough. All of those things are true. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah. When I said we were going to be brief today, I wasn't lying. We're going to go to break now. And when we come back, we're going to point fingers.
Oh, boy.
Yes, we are. But first, these words.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 five-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. Time to point fingers. Do you remember that scene in The Hangover when he gets the phone and he goes, "Hey, I think we fucked up." You remember?
Yeah, we fucked up.
You know, as I was watching that game, okay, and I was watching it with a Cowboy fan and another Dolphin fan, little did that Cowboy fan know what was going to happen the following day, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think their failure was bigger than ours because they got the miracle ride to that 2 seed with a complete and total collapse by the Eagles.
Yeah.
And then they blow it to the second coming of Aaron Rodgers. But you know what? As I was watching that game and I'm watching Rashee Rice just absolutely cook us from pillar to post, 20-20, because that's essentially the game. Like, those field goal tries must have felt like, if you, I'm pretty certain they didn't show it, but I'm pretty certain that there was offensive coaches on the Chiefs sideline that were lining up for every field goal try and fist pumping, saying one step closer to winning. You know, we keep getting these 3 points. Those 3 points pile up, and they're gonna feel like it's a billion points to the Dolphins. You know what I mean? You need to stay in contact in that type of weather. The more I watch that game, and I'm watching Rashee Rice absolutely just cook us 20-20 for another field goal try and another field goal try.
Well, it felt like the slowest execution ever. Like the guillotine was in slow motion.
Yes. So as I'm watching that, I'm looking at him like, man, one of the guys that we sold ourselves on was an answer or part of the future, or quote unquote, one of the good guys. This guy has been bad this year, and his counting stats are bad, and the tape is bad. And then he was absolutely picked on and exposed in this game. Kader Kohu could not have been any worse in this game.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And we're going to have to ask serious questions about him, because you have competing theories about what's happening, competing theories that about what he's going to be going forward, or perspectives on what he's going to be going forward. You know, if the coaches sat,
My first instinct with the secondary is to react to this last month and go absolutely nuclear on the entire unit. I know the guys that I know are really, really good. I want to overhaul the rest, you know? And I kind of want to use Xavier Howard's money to do it. You know,
well, Xavier Howard is not going to be a Miami Dolphin next year unless they work out some kind of miraculous pay cut that frankly, I don't think Howard will do.
No,
he's not going to be a Miami Dolphin next year. And that's, I'd stake money on that. Take that however you want it. But Kader is the guy that we got to ask questions about, because, you know, hey, listen, if one of the coaches comes to me, you know, Vic Fangio or, you know, secondary coach, and says, listen, Kader came from Texas A&M Commerce. Okay. He's, you know, he didn't have some of the advantages that bigger programs would have given him. And he's also in his second pro system in as many years. And this is not a similar system to the last one either. This, to me, they're about as opposite as you get. Between what we had going under Brian Flores and Josh Boyer, and now what we have under Vic Fangio. So if you're going to come to me and say, you know, that, and then put on top of it, we kind of messed around with him a little bit, put him on the outside, even though he'd not done that yet, a couple of games, and, you know, kind of didn't let him get comfortable. And then there's a lot of injuries and communication problems that started popping up. And, you know, not all those plays that look like were on him were actually on him. Tell me all that, I'm going to believe it, because it all makes sense. It all makes a great amount of sense. But you know what? You're going to have to tell me it. Because yeah. I'm not going to assume it anymore. Because it's just as likely that the competing explanation is we have yet another instance where a guy was one thing in one system, and then you take him out of that system and put him in a completely different system, and he looks like a completely different player. And that Absolutely. Happens. That happens yeah. in the NFL all the time, right? So if you're going to have me believe that that's not what's happening here, that it is actually just a development thing, and that we might have set back his learning curve a little bit by changing systems and, you know, and flipping him around between outside and slot and so on and so forth, and with the injuries and so on and so forth. Yeah, I could believe that. I could buy that. But you're gonna have to tell me that based on your inside knowledge as coaches and having had contact with them throughout the season, that that's what you actually think is happening.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of this show, we're going to talk about, you know, the not necessarily the good guys, but, you know, the guys who acquitted themselves well here down the stretch. And on defense, there were many, many more than there were on offense. On offense in this game, they couldn't operate. And it was obvious to me that the quarterback just couldn't throw in this weather. He could not throw it from here to there with any type of accuracy or power. And when he could muster it, it either sailed on him or he was inaccurate or I don't know. They were not on the same page. The Chiefs did absolutely nothing special, nothing different.
It's not like Patrick Mahomes looked like Patrick Mahomes either.
No, he looked like
a mediocre quarterback.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was able to look like a mediocre quarterback in those conditions was quite a testament to his name.
Yeah. But on offense, was there anything that they could have done? Because the more I look at this, man, that game had a point. You scored, and it's 10-7. They answer, and it's 13-7. There is a period in that game where it's 13-7 for a while, where the game was begging for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I dare I say that I think that the game was lost on that 3rd-and-2, 4th-and-2. Because I remember what I said. When I saw that it was 3rd-and-2, I said, I'm running it twice.
Yep.
And, meaning, you know, I'm running it on 3rd down with the idea, look, I'm going for it on 4th down. So yeah, if I get 1 yard, I'm running it again.
Favorable field position for that.
Yeah. And that's what that was my idea. They ended up going pass. And you could see the slide for the rest of the game right there. And, you know, I hate to be one of these people that just says we lost the game, you know, like whispered under my breath.
Right.
But that 13-7, those moments, it was about a 6-minute period where the score was 13-7. That was our chance to make it a game or even flat out win it. And they lost it right there. And that
especially
has to be on play calling.
This is such particularly on offense, what I deem a path dependent type of offense, which means that they have not been all year the sort of offense that runs, you know, well in a vacuum as if the scoreboard doesn't exist. So yeah, you are talking about a moment of the game where things went a certain direction, and because they went in a certain direction, they just kept going in that certain direction.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the quarterback, you know, we could explain it a bunch of different ways because, you know, he just couldn't throw in that type of weather. But as far as the run game, what they planned for the run game, you know, it didn't seem like if it was, you know, it was not, I wouldn't say well thought out. It just seemed like it was pretty much just rolling out the same crap that they've been rolling out the last month.
Yep.
And hoping that you get better results than you got the last month, although you had a couple of a decent halves in the last month. And even when they got that success, they ran crack. Do you know that they ran? I looked it over again. They ran crack toss 3 times. You know that they gained 6, 8, and 5 yards on those three times that they ran crack toss?
Yeah.
Okay, why not running a fourth time? Run crack
well,
toss.
Well, and that's the thing. They kind of have an identity, and they feel like they are who they are, and they're not. They haven't been good. They've been good at throwing in tendency breaker plays every now and then, but only every now and then. They don't have tendency breaker games.
No,
you know, they don't have a game where, hey, we just ran, we literally just ran power 18 times, you know, because that was what it called for.
Yeah. And the only time that this team got out of character and, you know, it was, you know, and it led to a really, really good result was the second game of the season in New England and the Black Friday game in New York, where in the second half, they started calling a lot of gap runs.
Yeah.
And they were getting a lot of success from it. But that's pretty much it all season.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, and this is the point I was trying to make earlier on Twitter and elsewhere, Discord, our OnlyFans, is, you know, and I noticed, like, somebody, I had a coach actually DM me something, and he pointed out this, you know, Bobby Peters is really smart football guy. He writes books on you know, football offenses and schemes and stuff like that. And he's talking about Miami and they're sort of, they're really fun. He calls them rabbit hole ideas of what they've come up with that is super innovative. And, you know, a lot of people are copying it and stuff like that. But he was pointing out that sometimes you get really trapped in those rabbit holes. And that's what I think Miami did. I think Miami this season, they're looking at a roster that's like, and I went down, I was like, listen, you have running backs who are outside speedster guys, not inside power guys, right? You have a quarterback who he's not going to play hero ball anymore. Like, even to the extent that he used to, we've gotten him out of that because we're too worried about the concussions and health and stuff like that. So you're asking him to scramble around and make a big play for you. He's not going to do it. And then of course he gets into those situations. He is arm limited, you know, in those situations, he's certainly foot speed limited. And all of this is just, you know, the limitations. That's the kind of player he is. You have tight ends who are blockers and can't do much in the passing game. You have wide receivers who are short and speedy. And so they can do things that short and speedy guys do, but God, you know, heaven forbid you try and throw them a fade or something like that. They're, you know, just rip it out of the playbook. Or back shoulder. I don't even think back shoulder even lives in the playbook. You know, and then you've got an offensive line who cannot be counted on to pass protect for longer than 2 seconds. And really, you know, can't run, can't manufacture or help you manufacture a downhill inside ground game. They're only good at what they're good at. So you have all these really kind of lopsided, non-versatile elements of the offense, and the coaches had to put together a versatile offense out of all these not versatile elements. And give them the credit they deserve. They did. You know, they really put together a marvelous piece of engineering that because of its lack of versatility, the lack of inherent versatility in all the pieces, was not very robust against disruptions, against any kind of disruptions, be it an injury disruption, be it a road disruption with crowd noise, be it, you know, surface issues or sub-zero temperatures, or, you know, just all these things, equipment things. There's all these things that would just, you know, the metaphor I used was like a speed skater who can't be beaten when the ice is, you know, perfectly clean, but the smallest imperfection of the ice sends them face planting, you know, and that's the kind of offense that you get because it was.
Yeah. The racehorse that on off turf doesn't get into his stride and essentially decides, I'm not running today.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, right.
And an animal, the great thing about an animal is that they're so honest.
Yeah, that they're so honest.
They will tell you, you know what? I'm not running today.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'll get into their stride. They don't even try. And you're like, oh, he gave me nothing today. Yeah, he doesn't want to run on that type of surface.
And the offense was really overly engineered, you know, overly engineered. It was predicated on too much precision, too much mechanical, too much choreography. And it worked. It gave them the number one offense in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't an offense that could survive in the late stages of the league when you're facing, like, because here's what you're going to be facing a lot in the later stages of the league. You're going to be facing, first off, the latter months of the league is when you face your division opponents for the second time, right? A lot of mm-hmm. times. Well, they've already seen you once. They know you really well. They develop a game plan for your very unique path to how you create offense because of what you're working with and in terms of the pieces. You know, they've seen it already. And so, of course, and both these games against the Bills and against the Chiefs were against teams that we saw already that had played against us. So they were able to game plan it and disrupt. And I think that's the sort of, when you have to over engineer the offense like that, I think that's the sort of thing that you're going to run into. And so they were not able to show versatility in the face of disruption. They were not able to, in Mike McDaniel's own words, use adversity as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Adversity causes that. Sometimes you negate your own, you know, sometimes when you call stuff out like that and it's your mantra, you're really just identifying what your real weakness is. And their weakness was adversity.
Absolutely. Anytime that there was a sudden change, like in personnel or due to an injury or whatever, it was all hell broke loose.
And there was a lot of them. There were a lot of those.
Yes. That happened all the time, all year.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do a different exercise here because we've been doing it. You know, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about, you know, our hate balls.
Oh, God.
There's just so many that we're going to go the 180 degrees, the opposite. And for, you know, I didn't have time to, you know, image this or to start thinking about names. So I'm just going to say our good guy awards. And these are the guys that you watched in these last two games. And you said, this is the core. I want these guys and I want them around for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And I'll give you mine. Okay.
Okay.
On offense, I don't have anybody. Okay. I'm willing to listen to everything. Okay. On offense, I'm open to damn near anything on offense, but on defense, man, our two defensive tackles, Jalen Ramsey, David Long, those are my guys. And you know what? Throw in Deshaun Elliott. Notice I didn't mention the other safety who's gone ditzy for some reason. I don't know what the hell's wrong with him.
Well, I know what's wrong with him. He's got two bad knees, and he can't
handle it.
Like, you can get away with, but Alf, if you think about it, you can get away with one bad knee. You can't get away with two bad knees, and because, you know, at least with one bad knee, and this is why there's increased injury risk in other areas when you're dealing with an injury, you lean on other body parts a little bit more, you know, to make up for the fact. For the fact that you've got this, you've got this injury that you're protecting, right? And if you've got two bad knees, what are you leaning on?
Nothing.
Nothing. And so, you know, I think that was just a really unfortunate. I'm not willing to give up on, you know, on him, or even, you know, I don't even have a changed opinion of him because of what happened. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a changed opinion on him. I never thought he was an all pro, you know, quite yet anyway. So I'm not even going to change my opinion, like, even so much as like inserting uncertainty into the equation about Javon Holland. And it's specifically because of the circumstance. Like, if the circumstances were different, then it would be a different answer. But like, two bad knees, I'm just like, yeah, that's just too much. I'm sorry. That's too much. He's not even going to be able to overcompensate one of them. And that's I think was a big part of the problem. But that's it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's where I'm gonna end up with, because I'm taking these last three games. That's how I'm forming my opinion for the team next year. These three games: Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City. The guys that I looked at and said, yeah, I could count on those guys. Those guys are the core. David Long, Deshaun Elliott, and to a much bigger extent, the two defensive tackles, and of course, Jalen Ramsey. That's my core. And I understand I left out two pretty big edge rushers, but we shouldn't have them for maybe the first month of next season. Maybe if we're lucky, Phillips is there. But, you know, those guys, you know, that's down the road. And I think they're going to have to replenish that with some younger blood as well behind them. But, you know, those are my guys. Down the stretch, those three guys were the guys that I looked at and I say, I could count on those guys. Because even Devon Achan, man, that guy needs an entire offseason in the weight room. And who knows? Maybe he can't play at 195 pounds, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, so maybe you get him in the weight room and he's like, you know what? I can't play at 195 pounds. Then he's a gimmick player. A great one. A great gimmick player. But, you know, not a guy you could count on for 300 touches in a football season. Who are your good guys? Since we're doing this, because let's face it, if we did this hate ball thing, we just sit here and start mentioning like 45, 50 guys. Like, who the hell wants to do that? So who are your good guys? We're just taking these last three losses in a row. Who are your good guys?
Well, I'm gonna go especially with, you know, I know it's true of both defensive tackles, Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer, but Zach Sealer in particular, the man got paid right before the season started, right? And he did not let up to any degree whatsoever after he got paid. We have seen that a lot. Okay. And so you're talking about like Christian Wilkins, like he never let up, but you know what? He bet on himself and he's trying to get paid.
Yeah.
That, you know, that it is the quintessential free agent year, right?
I tend to trust him. I hope he doesn't betray me, but
no, I don't think, I'm not saying he will. I'm just saying that there were different circumstances between the two. And Zach Sealer got paid and he did not coast at any point in the year, and it just seems like it just seems like the very idea is beyond him, you know. And so I think that him probably more than anybody else, you know. Bradley Chubb before he got hurt, you know, and I know that he's had an injury history, so I'm not feeling great about him because of the injury history. But in terms of attitude and you know, player to build around and stuff like that, like, you know, he'll have an occasional overly emotional moment. We all do. And I get that, but I think that was a good one. Deshaun Elliott, I think that the secondary lost something in terms of their coverage coordination whenever he was out. And I think that it's kind of showed how important he is back there. I'm not even sure about Jalen Ramsey, because there were some things that kind of threw me off a little bit toward the end of the year about, you know, when it started to become a big narrative. Oh, are you going to have Jalen Ramsey travel with so-and-so? And clearly he wanted that, but if you're putting yourself in position of like wanting that, and you know, I'm going to shut down this guy, you know, myself and stuff like that. You know, don't get beat by Brandon Cooks in the end zone for the touchdown. Don't get beat by, yeah. You know, and he really, there were a couple of games at the end of the year. I don't think he really had a great game. During these moments when we're kind of blowing it. So I'm not even going to put him there. I think of Deshaun Elliott. I think Zach Sealer. You know what I like about David Long? You brought his name up. Is the fact that things looked really bad for him at the beginning of the year. They did. He was new to the defense. I don't think he was getting it. He was a liability on a lot of that tape at the beginning of the year. He just kept working at it and kept getting better and better. And by the end of the year, he was just consistently one of the better, you know, elements on the defense. And I really like that in a player. That's a player that, you know, did work through the adversity, so to speak. And so I think on defense, those guys definitely stood out to me. You know, I don't know about anybody else. I mean, of course, we all love Jalen Phillips and, you know, and Andrew Van Ginkle and stuff like that. I'm just, those guys kind of stood out. On offense, I'm with you in that, like, I could be convinced on anything.
Yeah.
I could be convinced to go any direction. In fact, you know, Simon's going to come on, and I know what he is going to say about Tua and already saying about him. And like, listen, if you think Tua's not it, all right, pitch me, right? You know, pitch me. Pitch me on what we're doing here. Are we going after Kirk Cousins? You can convince me. or at least you could try and convince me. You can try and convince me of anything on offense. If you want to change the whole structure of what they're doing, I could be convinced, because I think that their approach, there are some serious issues with their approach right now. So, yeah, I'm hard to give one out to anybody on offense. But the one that I know, I mean, I would, if Raheem Mostert weren't 31 years old,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, from the standpoint of character and performance, Raheem Mostert's would be my guy. Right.
Yeah.
But he's an older running back, and that is about the biggest, like, that is about the biggest no-no in the NFL right now, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, Devon Achane, all I know is that he deserves to be somewhere on that offense and deserves to be used a lot, or needs to be if you want to win. I'm still not unclear on whether that needs to be running back or whether he needs to make a move to wide receiver. I'm going to be honest about it. And then the other one, you know, Tyreek Hill. Love Tyreek Hill. Think he's the MVP of the offense. I think that, you know, he's a culture changer. But at the same time, you know, there were some big games where he was also kind of screwing up in those big games.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, that's sort of like he was a creature of what he was inside of what was happening, not outside of it. You know what I mean? Like, he was not out, you know, totally separate from what was happening at the end of the year. Tua was not separate from what was happening at the end of it. He was part of it, you know? So, you know, other than that, you know, between Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane, to some degree Tyreek Hill, but with the caveat that I just said, it's tough. It's tough on offense. What I know is that if they're keeping this approach, where they're going to keep this sort of off way that they're using the wide receivers, the running backs, and the quarterback to sort of bail out the offensive line, because that is the game plan every week, then they'd better continue plowing money into those positions. They'd better or plowing money and ideas into those positions. They're going to have to give money to Jalen Waddle. You know, they're going to have to give money to Tua Tagovailoa, because without him, all of the wheels fall off in a way that I don't think Dolphins fans are really prepared to have to deal with again, because I think we've already gotten spoiled.
Yeah, and I think this is for a later show, but if Teron Armstead does retire, I would not mind using his money on the interior offensive line.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for that. There's something to be said for Tua, the quarterback in particular, gets the most nervous when he can't trust that interior group, and he couldn't this year. And so, you know, look at how differently the Chiefs are built versus the Dolphins. The Chiefs had their own issues on offensive line for sure mm-hmm. this year, but they're at the tackle spots. And meanwhile, they've got that really strong interior.
Yep.
And so they were able to do what they needed to do in that game, and the Miami Dolphins were not. And so, yeah, there's some, you know, draft, whether it's Cedric Van Pran of Georgia, the center there, I really like him, or you know, whatever, build that interior line is an issue. If they're going to keep giving the offensive tackles as much help as they give them every single game, which is the most in the league by far, the most of the last decade, I think, they give them the easiest job of any offense has given their offensive tackles and their offensive line in general and pass protection over the last decade. They don't really set them up to have to pass protect in the way that you normally think of when you're talking about offensive linemen. And that's on purpose. And if they're going to keep that approach, well, that's a different conversation. I don't understand why you pay $13 million for the right tackle that's part of that. You know? So whatever.
Yeah. And we're gonna talk about that in the coming weeks and months leading up to their free agency period. And of course the combine is in February, but their free agency period in March, which is gonna be one of the biggest in team history. As it seems like Chris Greer is trying to run it back with a semblance of what he has right now. But I think he's going to have to give some guys some harsh truths.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some guys, you know, and I'm a huge fan of Robert Hunt, but I think he's one of them. And we're going to talk about all of this beginning on Thursday. But, you know, Robert Hunt's one of these guys that I think he's going to show up somewhere. I don't know if he's going to sign before he hits free agency, but he could show up somewhere and be met with an $8 million APY and be absolutely shocked at what his market is out there, because sometimes the stink transfers to other players. You know what I mean?
That's a fair.
I think he's important, and we'll begin talking about that on Thursday. I consider him Tua's blindside, like that. You know, everybody has their blindside tackle.
Yeah,
I consider Robert Hunt his blindside tackle. You know, except he plays right guard. You know, but we will get into it. What a disappointing season. We ended it with our good guys, and neither of us found it within ourselves to give you a guy on offense. So that tells you all you need to know. We'll talk to you later this week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.